So, last week we discussed Abraham, and I made 11 points from all of Abraham's life. And rather than move on, I decided tonight perhaps we would try to talk about Abraham and make 1 point. So, just going from one end of the spectrum to another, take a deep breath. And I want to try to make one encouragement from Abraham's life. Of course, it'll take us through the rest of Scripture, but it's one theme that I want to try to unpack tonight. So let's pray as we get into the Word. Father, we thank you that you are the source of life. With you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. You're the Father of lights, and from you comes every good and perfect gift. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came and because you wanted to impart your joy to us. Lord, you said in John chapter 15 that you spoke these things to the disciples that your joy could be in them and that their joy would abound. Lord, I thank you that you know what is a cause for joy. You know what joy is because you share it with the Father. Lord, I want to ask that you would break through. Lord, that you would do what you said the Holy Spirit would do, convict. God, that you would allow our time together to be redeemed into your eternal time. And that each one of us, Father, where we are, as you know where we are, that you would draw us to yourself. Father, thank you that that is possible. Thank you that the work of your Son Jesus and the gift of the Spirit makes that possible. And today is the day of salvation. Father, hear us and do your work in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the work you have done in our lives. Father, we thank you that you have been at work in our hearts, softening our hearts, convicting us, opening up your word, illumining your truth. Father, continue that work. And we bless you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wanted to stay on Abraham because Abraham is so important. We are all here because of Abraham. All right, all of us are here tonight because God took a nobody from somewhere in Mesopotamia and did something with his life. He is called by Paul, Father Abraham. Isaiah says to Israel, look to the rock from which you were hewn. This great nation of Israel started with one man and his wife. And so Abraham is so foundational in all of Scripture. And again, I want to stress that Abraham was a nobody. Okay, when you compare Abraham to the great men of the ancient world, he wasn't a great man by their standards. He wasn't a great lawgiver. He wasn't a mighty warrior. He wasn't a king. He was just a man. And God took this just a man and made him into something that changed the world. And again, we're here because of what God did in his life. Now I want you to imagine just a little bit of what could be because of your life, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations from now, if Jesus doesn't come back. All right? If your heart is still beating, God wants to do something in your life that makes eternal differences in the lives of others. Amen? Amen. And the good news about it is that Abraham was a nobody, and God took his life, and as he learned to trust God, he did something with him. So my scripture for the night, the theme for the night, if you want to know the one thing I'm going to be riffing on, it's Genesis 17, 1 that we read last week. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. All right, walk before me and be blameless. And along with this, I want to just ask this question. And the question is, and it's one of the most important questions, is what kind of person are you becoming? Okay, this is what the gospel is about. We often take the gospel to be about primarily where you're going at the end. But really, the gospel is about, and I'll just illustrate this throughout the scripture, it's about what kind of person you're becoming. And every day you're becoming one kind of person or another. Are you a source of good for others? Like, does your life bring forth good things in the life of others, or does it bring forth bad things? Are you full of calm confidence in God, or are you full of fretfulness and anxiety? So God comes along, and he doesn't give Abraham really a rule here. He gives him a way. And the way is about what God is going to turn Abraham into. He says, Abraham, just walk, live your life openly before me, and I will make you into something. I will make you into something. I will make you into what you're intended to be. The word is whole. It's the same word used for animals that were used to be sacrifices in the temple. Like, that's what a sheep should be. It's got all the things that it should be. And God says, Abraham, you walk with your life open to me, and I will make your life just what I want it to be. So God doesn't give Abraham a rule. He gives him a way. Does that make sense? And so this is all about turning Abraham into something different than he was becoming. And God gives all of us a way to become what he wants us to become. Does that make sense? You should always just ask the question at the end of every day, what kind of person am I becoming? Because of the choices I made today, because of the things I did today. So I want to suggest that the main theme I want to touch on tonight is walking with God. Kelly touched on it a couple weeks ago, right? God came in the garden in the cool of the day and walked with Adam and Eve. Enoch walked with God. And eventually God liked walking with Enoch so much, he just said, let's skip the death thing. Come on. Come on, boy. All right. Noah. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Psalm 1. Love Psalm 1. Many people have it memorized. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his walk is influenced by this desire to know what God teaches. Okay, the blessed man of Psalm 1 is walking openly with God and saying, God, teach me about my life. Think about the Shema. Think about Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He gives the great command to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he goes on to say, let these words be on your heart when you sit, when you rise, when you go, when you come back, all the time. The point is, in your walk, let these words be on your heart. Let them teach you. Let me teach you with these words. So God's promise has always been, or God's way has always been, walk with him. And as you walk with him, he will turn you into something. He will change you. Does that make sense? So just think about the whole image of walking for a minute, because it is an analogy. It is a metaphor. I want to draw your attention to a couple things about it. First of all, it's active, right? There's a longstanding debate in Christianity. Is the best life the contemplative life of prayer, or is the best life the life of doing justice in the world? And the answer is yes. The answer is walk. Right? We walk with God, and as we go about our lives openly before him, talking to him about it, open to what he might have to say, he does something in us and to us, and because of that, through us. Amen? So a walk is active. A walk is every day. What I mean by every day is it's mundane. It's no matter where you are or what you're doing, whether you're in prison or a palace, you can walk with God. It's God is interested in your everyday life. This is why Paul says, offer your bodies, not your hearts. Right? God's interested in the everyday. What your life is, whoever you are, God's not asking for any change immediately right now. He's just saying, take that life and walk with him. And know that he sees you and wants to teach you and wants to help you. Just open all that up to him. And walking is also cooperative, right? It's something two people do together. Think of all those places in the Bible where two walk together, where there's this image of walking together. So this is the life of Abram. This is the life of Abraham. God just said, Abraham, you're a nomad, you're a father, you're a husband, you're a manager of people. Just take that life that you're living, open it up to me, and walk with me. And I am going to make you into what I intended you to be. Amen? So that's Abram. That's Abraham. But notice that Jesus does exactly the same thing. So Mark chapter 1, 17 in the beginning, and Jesus said to them, to two disciples that he was calling, what? Follow me, walk with me. And I will make you to become fishers of men. Now notice, Jesus does not come and say, thou shalt be fishers of men. And that's very important. Okay, and I think we often hear that way, right? When we hear that, we think, oh yeah, I got to share the gospel. I haven't gotten around to that. But Jesus doesn't say that. He says, fellas, walk with me. And as you walk with me, open to me, I'm going to turn you into something. I'm going to turn you into somebody that people are captured with. I'm going to do things in your life that'll make other people look and go, what is that? And it's going to draw them to me. Does that make sense? He gives them a way. It's the same thing he was doing with Abraham. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Walk before me and be whole. Just go along with me and I will teach you. So this is one of the greatest blessings that God wants to bless us with. This is one of the promises of the gospel, that you would become somebody that you would want to hang out with. Does that make sense? I mean, in the end, when you die, when you go into eternity, you get who you've become. And God wants to give you the gift of who you've become being a joy. It's not something you'll think a lot about if you've become that, but it'll be a joy. Does that make sense? One of my favorite books is George MacDonald's The Wise Woman. And in The Wise Woman, a wise woman is trying to teach some bratty kids. And she takes one of the kids and puts her in a bubble, where it's this glass bubble and she's alone with herself and she sees an image of herself and she's just full of loathing. And she's so full of loathing for this despicable girl, and she goes to just claw her and suddenly realizes she's clawing herself. Right? Because of who she's become. And it's the wise woman's way of trying to get her attention and say, this is what you've become. Would you like me to turn you into something else? Right? So in the end, you get, among other things, what you've become. So back to a scripture from last week related to this, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree. Notice, Abraham, I'll bless you and bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. There's this language of cursing. But verse 14, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. What's the blessing of Abraham? Walking with God and being turned into something different. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's the blessing that Abraham got. And I want you to consider, Abraham is blessed in many ways, right? He became rich, it says. He became very wealthy. He was protected. I mean, twice his wife was protected from, you know, these harems. He was successful in warfare. He had a kid. He was successful in all kinds of ways. But the blessing of Abraham was friendship with God. It was walking with God. And so here's the miracle. The Jews are the chosen people of God. Abraham was the first Jew. But the miracle is that the blessing that Abraham got could come to Gentiles too. And what's the blessing? Friendship with God. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. What is the Holy Spirit for, among other things? So that we can walk with God. Remember, Jesus said, guys, right now, there's 12 of you and I'm limited. I mean, I talk with you and I walk with you and I teach you and I correct you and I help you. And, you know, I get on to you sometimes. I encourage you sometimes and I'm always with you. But there's 12 of you and there's one of me. If I go away, the Father's going to send the Holy Spirit and he'll be in each one of you. And not only you, but everybody else will come to believe. It's better that I go away, because if I go away, the Holy Spirit will come and every one of you will be able to walk with me like Abraham did. Like I have with you these 3.5 years, but more so because I'll be in you. Does that make sense? This is one of the great gift, the great blessing of the Holy Spirit, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can walk with us, or that we can walk with him. That he can stop being an idea, a philosophy, a dogma. He can be a person who teaches us inside of us. And that is what this walking with God in Scripture is all about. Amen? So yes, God blesses people in many ways, and we should believe that. But he also wants to bless us with actual friendship with him. So think about all the places in Scripture in the New Testament that speak in these terms. So, for example, later in Galatians, this is in chapter 6, Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Now, I don't know about you, but when I think of walk in the Spirit, I think of doing miracles all the time. Or maybe God telling me what to do at every turn. All right? But notice, let me go on. He says, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these two are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So he says, listen, if you walk by the Spirit, you have an option here. You can't be neutral. You can either walk by the Spirit or be under the flesh and under the law, right? You're going to have to choose between the two. You will either do one or the other. You can't pick the middle ground. But he goes on to say in 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity." Y'all know what enmity is? It's fighting, not getting along. Okay, relational tension. Strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. Notice there's a lot of relational brokenness kinds of things. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. "I warned you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." He says, listen, now, by the way, he gives us this list, and this list is a gift. The list is a gift because he says, listen, if these things are evident in your life, you can know something. You can know that you're living in the flesh. All right. If some of these things come out, they're like symptoms. Right. And the disease is that you're walking in the flesh. You're walking apart from fellowship and relationship and interaction with God. And the kind of person you're becoming is going to be characterized by these sorts of things. And he says that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's giving a remedy. He's almost saying there's an opportunity in this. Now listen. If one of these works of the flesh you notice in your life, it's an opportunity to go, oh, well, where is this coming from? Well, there's some way in which I'm not walking in fellowship with God in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, God, teach me. What is it? Where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Does that make sense? These are the result of not doing the walk openly before me. All right? So Paul is not saying, do these things and you'll go to hell. So much as he's saying, if these things are coming out of your life, it's evidence that you're not learning to walk in the Spirit. So learn to walk in the Spirit. Make sense? All right? That's what he means. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is in our midst. And he says, you're not going to be entering. You're not going to be participating in that if these things are coming out of you. They're indicators of what kind of person you're becoming. Verse 22. And I'm almost done. believe it or not. This may be more leisurely. This may be better. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. This is an amazing passage. All right, first of all, fruit. Fruit is the byproduct of something. Fruit is the byproduct of what kind of tree you are. Walk with me and I'll make you into an apple tree instead of a crabapple tree. Or whatever you want to call it. Follow me and I'll make you into the kind of tree that produces this kind of fruit. Notice, it's not a list of things to do. It's a list of qualities that you become that are characterized in your life if you're walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, when you walk openly with God, when you walk open before Him, He turns you into this kind of person. And notice He says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Because the Spirit will say, Chad, do you want to know where your anger is coming from? Where that wrath, that yelling and losing your temper is coming from? Well, it comes from this area of the flesh. Can I kill it? Does that make sense? Those who are in Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. So walking in the Spirit means, and again, I said a minute ago, I thought of walking in the Spirit as doing miracles and God telling you what to do all the time. It's first this. In fact, what's the greatest miracle? A heart that can bless its enemies. Really. Not a heart that goes through the outward routine of blessing enemies, but a heart that says, God, I really want good for them. And I commit to it. I'd say that's a bigger miracle than healing the sick, even though we want healing the sick too. Does that make sense? So walking in the Spirit has more to do with who you're becoming. And inviting the Holy Spirit to help you become the kind of person that He wants you to become. What kind of person are you becoming in your depths every day? The Holy Spirit can help you to become this. So all of these are the byproducts of that kind of relationship. They're the byproducts of walking with God and inviting Him in to your day-to-day life. Amen? So the question is, what kind of person are you becoming? God wants to turn you into a glorious creature who is full of love. I should end with a little bit of a warning, and this doesn't mention walking in particular, but it is one of my favorite passages, and it's related to what I'm saying. This comes from 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Paraphrase, everything you need to become what God wants you to become is already given. How will you respond? By which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises so that through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature. What kind of person are you becoming? Are you becoming like Jesus in heart and will? You can. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort as you walk with God to supplement your faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge. And knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, That's the measure of progress, is just increasing. It's not arriving, it's increasing. Does that make sense? It's just getting better with the help of God. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we don't want, to be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know information about him, but not be being transformed by his presence in our lives. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. If you're cleansed, you're cleansed so that you can go on and begin to share more and more in the nature of God. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the table. Since we have more time tonight, every week people can come up front and pray. But I want to invite people who are particularly convicted to come up and pray, or people who are particularly stirred. Let's take some time tonight and just linger in the presence of God and let him press on whatever he might want to press on. Amen.